95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk. And this is Atlanta, the food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Before we get started in the show, we have a new promotion that we're rolling out. It's about an hour old, and I want to get it in here so you have as much time to get enrolled in this promotion as possible, because it is huge. 95.5 WSB helps you with your daily commute. You know we do with triple team traffic. Now we want to give you even more relief with your drive. We're going to give you a chance to win $500, maybe $600, $700, even $1,000 in free gas. Go to WSBRadio.com or the WSB Radio app to register today. All the rules and details are there. And this is from 95.5 WSB Atlanta's news and talk. That's huge. That's a lot of gas. So take advantage of that and go and register at WSBRadio.com or register on the WSB Radio app so you can possibly be one of our winners. Well, this hour I have Hal Runkle and his lovely wife, Jenny Runkle, in the studio. Hal is the author of the New York Times bestselling author of Scream Free Parenting. He's a life and leadership coach. Jenny Runkle is just recently retired teacher, and they're going to tag team us on this back to school huge ordeal that we're dealing with. Monday, I think, will be the day that everybody's back in school. Atlanta Public Schools are going back to school. A lot of the schools went back last Monday. So parents, that's all that they've got on their minds, especially tomorrow with getting everybody up and going and trying to get their lives back on some type of schedule. And there's so much that surrounds that and the psychology of it and getting back in track. And so that's why I brought in Hal, because he is a life and leadership coach, and Jenny, a retired teacher. And we're going to make this as easy a year as we possibly can for you and your children. So Hal, this is much of a psychological drain on the parents as it is the kids.
Oh, it's an anxiety-ridden time for everybody involved, for sure. And some of that is unavoidable, right? It's a big transition from the lazy dog days of summer into now the regimented every minute busyness of fall, especially.
Because those kids have been sleeping till noon.
At least. Right. And some of the parents as well. So now everybody's got to get up, and it always seems to happen sooner than we think. And it just feels like now I've got to keep all these plates spinning, and before I didn't even have the plates out. So how do we adjust our mindset into, I love how you said it, what would it take to have an easy transition and a great year?
Yeah.
What would that take? Well, it takes leadership. And that's one of the things, parenting is never talked about enough as a leadership role, but that's what it is. It is not a caretaker role nearly as much as it's a leadership role, because we're leading the next generation of human beings into, hopefully, a productive adulthood.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about that a number of times, and how it's so easy to forget, oh yeah, I'm supposed to prepare them to live without me, not do everything for them because it makes everybody feel good and then we don't have any arguments.
Right. But right. Putting that into action is harder than just the words coming out of your mouth.
For sure. And people say that's easier said than done. I'm like, yeah, everything's easier said than done, but we have to keep at what is our hope. Always, here's the biggest mistake any of us can ever make in our lives. It's when we choose more of what we want right now and less of what we want most.
Okay, paint that into a picture. Those were just a lot of words.
Yes, they were a lot of words. So what it looks like is when I pursue more, when I'm in my right mind, I'm thinking about what do I want most here? So what I want most is a fantastic relationship with this woman to my right. My wife, we just celebrated 26 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was touch and go there for a moment. We didn't know if we'd make it that last day. But 26 years, the only girl I've ever dated, only woman now. And she just became a woman, actually. It just happened recently. And I want a fantastic relationship with her. There are times when what I want to do is tell her to shut up, you're wrong. And if I do that, it directly makes it harder for me to actually get what I want most. So what do you want most? You want to have a fantastic year. What do you want right now? For the kids to shut the heck up and do what they're told.
Right.
But does that actually prepare them for what you want most? What you want most is for them to get themselves up on time. What you want them organize their homework, to take care of their responsibilities, right? So that when you do launch them off to college, like you've got one
year
away.
I am heading into senior year with one.
Yes, they can manage their own lives. That's the whole point. But it is so easy in the heat of the moment to just, okay, I'll just do it for you. Whatever it is, right?
It is, because I'm a perfectionist and he doesn't fold his clothes as neatly as I do. And, you know.
I just can't wait till a year from now and we're talking about his dorm room, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
If you could see his room.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It might surprise you. His dorm room might actually
be he's not going to surprise me.
No. Here's my one suggestion. Our son just finished first year of college, and just don't go to the bathroom. Just don't go in the bathroom. You're going to go to the bathroom in a girl's dorm or someplace else on campus, but don't.
Okay.
Don't
All right.
do that. But.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What age should children be waking themselves up? Give parents an age, say, okay, my son is too small for that right now, or
right.
my daughter should be waking herself up.
Well, Jenny, help me remember. I think Hannah, our oldest, she was 7.
That's the number that was in my head as well.
Right. It was the birthday she turned 7. And it wasn't because of some psychological research we picked 7. It was because at the time I had a client who was still calling her daughter every day to wake her up. And her daughter was in graduate school. 23 years old, had a bachelor's degree already. Hey, honey, rise and shine. Don't you have an 8 o'clock class? Right? And the mom would tell me, well, if I don't call her, she won't wake up. And I'm like, I believe you. Right? That's the problem is you never treat. So I'm like, you know what? That is not happening in our house. And so we made it a ritual. Seven years old. Yay. So let's go to Walmart and you get to pick out your own alarm clock. And back then, I think she picked Little Mermaid.
It was the Little Mermaid.
It was adorable.
It was cute.
Yeah. And she picked, it had little different songs to wake her up. And so what we did was we kind of, for like a week, went through this training exercise
right.
where we'll be your backup. But then after a week, it's on you.
And how did that work out for you?
Fine. She's super hyper responsible.
Okay, let's switch to your son.
I think about the same age.
It was. His was a SpongeBob.
Oh, that's right.
Clock. I remember that. Mm-hmm. And his it Square went
pants.
Pretty well. As
yeah,
I don't remember
I think
any
well.
Major incidents.
Here's the thing. I mean, kids feel best when they do well on their own.
Now, my son is waking himself up at his senior year.
Cool.
But my 15-year-old, his alarm just didn't go off. That happens over and over.
Over and over.
A faulty phone or whatever.
You know, yes, something is wrong with that.
You might want to take that up and keep it for a week just to make sure nothing's really wrong with it.
You send it into the shop. Tell them, okay, well, hey, you know, your phone's
send
not
back to Apple.
Yes, we're going to send it to Apple and make sure it works.
That phone just does not go
it's
off.
It's going to be amazingly efficient the next day if you threaten that.
I think you're right.
Right.
Folks, if you have a question for Jenny or Hal about the school year, how to make it a smoother ride for both of you. If you have some stumbling blocks you'd like to discuss with them, we're taking your calls at 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. I don't care. You may have the most perfect child in the world, but I promise you, you have something that you would like to work on with your child to help she or he be the best that they can possibly be
sure.
at getting this routine down pat. Maybe it's studying skills.
Right.
Maybe it's hygiene. Maybe it's
relationships with teachers.
Maybe it's relationships with teachers. We would love to help you with that. And Jenny's going to go over when we come back with a break. Also, being a former teacher, things that she would like you to know from a teacher's perspective that the teacher would like to tell you that they always can't. She's going to be as frank with us as she can possibly be and tell us what teachers want the parents to truly know but haven't been able to tell you this whole time. So we're going to take our first break. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. We have Hal Runkel in the studio and his wife, Jenny Runkel. She's a retired teacher and is giving us the perspective of a mother and a retired teacher, what teachers really want parents to know. And so she's going to give us that perspective during the show. Going to the phone lines, you can call us 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. Just like Michael in Thomaston has done. Michael, you're on WSB. How are you?
All right. Thank you. Taking my call.
Yes.
Yeah, I got a 14-year-old. He just went into the ninth grade, and this is his first year high school, of course, you know.
Big transition.
Yep, and he's been in band, active player in band, and
cool.
He's actually real good.
Great.
And I was wondering, he's wanting to do art or Navy ROTC.
Oh, that could be great.
You think that is too much, kind of do too much? Because he's actually going to be the marching band, you know, on the football
sure.
field, and, you know, so.
Sure. Well, it's interesting. Jenny, you saw that as a teacher where high school is this time where they ramp up and put so many activities, because a lot of times they're trying to bump up their resume for college, right?
Sure, sure. Yeah. I will say just the fact that you're asking that question tells me no, and the fact that he's just starting out at 14, that's, I like for kids, I taught seniors, and I liked for kids to try a bunch of different things, especially their freshman, sophomore yeah. year. So that they can figure out what it is they do like. But I would encourage you to give him the freedom to, okay, if you're going to take this on, take it on, and then let's reevaluate and decide maybe both of those things are not going to be doable at the same time. Because kids have so many options, great options, but they can end up doing too much, especially if the parents are putting more on them than the kids actually want to do. I don't hear that that's what you're doing at all.
Oh, I hear you asking questions like a really responsible parent, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Most parents, I say, how much can we pack in, right? What else can my child do to get into the college that I can then brag about at parties?
Right. And that's where it becomes problematic, because it then becomes more about, really, it becomes more about you than it does your kid. But that's not what I hear you saying. So I think, you know, allowing him to do that would be great. But I would say maybe establish some guidelines at the beginning of, and anticipate, okay, now there are going to be some crunch times with marching band. Let's look at your schedule. Let's also look at this other schedule. And let's figure out where it's going to overlap, where it's going to be difficult, and put some things in place before you get there. So what's going to happen if there's a marching band event and an ROTC event that happen at the same time? Because that's going to happen. So what are we going to do in that case? And helping him be proactive in that will be great. And then also just making sure you have that touch point to come back in say 3 months or at the semester and say, let's really evaluate how that was and go on from there. But I would caution you against every year, it's going to get really challenging to make sure that you don't just keep piling on and piling on and piling on, because then we sometimes forget that the whole point of school is school. And that's from a teacher's point of view, that's where you sometimes get into trouble as well, because students, by the time, if they keep adding and they don't ever subtract anything, just like adults, we tend to do that too. If they never subtract anything, then by the time they get to seniors, a lot of times they are just so strapped and pressured
burned
and
out.
Burned out that yeah. nothing's fun anymore. So I think now's a great time to try things, but I would make sure that you put things in place to reevaluate.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and then y'all talk about the time. I actually didn't catch it. I guess he should have been getting his own self up, huh?
Yes. It's time.
It's not too late.
It is time. It is time. And they've been, frame it as an opportunity. Look, we haven't done this yet, but it's time. You're getting to be a man, and this is what men do, right? This is what grown-ups do. As long as you
I always wake him up when I'm going out the door at 10 minutes till 5, and, you know, he's, actually, it works out good.
Yeah.
But but it wakes him up too early, like 30 or 40 minutes too early.
Oh, you know? Yeah, give him the chance. Look, hey, if you get yourself up, you can sleep 40 more minutes,
you're giving
dude.
Him bonus time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. That's Michael.
Hey,
thank
Michael,
you so much.
You sound like a good dad.
Yeah, I'm trying to be, I swear.
Awesome.
Good for you, Michael. Proud of you. And thanks for listening to the show.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Michael. Yeah, that's. I was so busy during high school. I remember telling my dad, "I don't have time for classes.
Mm-hmm. I have the important things to do.
I have other things that are more important." All right, you're listening to Atlanta Living only on 95.5 WSB.
This is 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk. And this is Atlanta, the food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, it's school time. Believe it or not, that summer break was very short. So by Monday, all of your kids will be back in school. And today's show is about making it as painless as possible for your child and yourself, and maybe making it your lives a little better to boot. And we have Hal Runkle in the studio, and he's a life and leadership coach, and his wife, Jenny Runkle, a retired teacher who's given advice on what she really would like to tell parents about being on the other side and at coming from the perspective of being a teacher, what she really would like to say and wish parents knew. And we're going to get to that right after this call from Holly in Kennesaw. Holly, you're on WSB. How are you today?
Oh, hey, Hal. Hey, Jenny. Hey, Belinda.
Hey.
I have a two-part question. The very first part is, and I know it's I have a kindergartner, and she just started, and she has 3 more hours of school. She used to go to pre-K and end it soon, and it's been very difficult transition when it comes to very early, because it was 9 to noon, and then it was now from noon to 3, and so I feel sometimes that they're adding a little bit of busy work in there. Like they do something called enrichment, which means they're talking to other students and, you know, getting good socialization. And then they have nap time and they have, you know, recess in the school that she's going to. It's a fantastic school. I'm really glad that she's in it. But that transition is quite difficult when it's those 3 extra hours.
Sure.
And also adding, so what making lunches for the first time.
Well, what's been the hardest part for you?
Well, she's the only child. And so, of course, you know, being away from your kid for that long, especially I don't have a full-time job.
Mm.
And, of course, finding different things to do, which I have, that's very good.
Good. Because every transition like that our kids go through, they're not just launching into a new world. We are too. And so you are being launched into a new reality where she is having more of a domain just to herself, which is the whole point. You want to gently but assuredly expand that domain where she has more and more responsibility for her own life every year. That's the whole point. But it means I've got to begin to separate myself from her a little more each year. And that's what's happened. You have now 3 hours where you're separated from her. And you can handle that a couple of ways. It sounds like you're trying to find something else to occupy yourself, or you can just sit in carpool line for 3 hours and wait.
No, people do that. That's a real thing.
I know.
That is a real thing.
Right.
And we know who you are. Like, we know.
No, the teachers know who they are. Yes. Yeah. They're ready to pounce because all they've been doing is playing Candy Crush Saga in their yoga pants and waiting in carpool line, which is just, it's just not healthy for anyone.
Have a lot more stuff to do.
Good.
But it's funny, they've actually made an announcement of that in the school. Hey, we know who you guys are.
Oh,
you don't
wow.
need to be full line for that long.
Right.
And so I've another thing real quick is that I've started giving her allowance.
Okay.
And I give her $1 a week for doing extra stuff. I don't feel that helping me clean the house, helping me cook is extra. I feel as being part of a family.
Yep.
But the extra stuff that she's doing is $1 and she's 5. Is that a sort of a normal
We did. You know, here, we did it here. We had an allowance that they got regardless. because I wanted them to taste the power of having money. That's what we wanted them, right? But there, it was your birthday or your birth. How old you are? Once every 2 weeks. So 5-year-old got $5 every 2 weeks, and then that increased every year. And because I want them making decisions with money, there you can't replicate that experience or education without actually having money. So we would do that. And chores, we're not tied to that. Chores are just what you do because you're part of the family. And then there were extra things that you could do to earn some extra money. Am I remembering all this correctly?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, talking to some of my adult friends who grew up without allowance, there's the scarcity mindset that they have because they never had their own. They always had to ask their parents for something, and then they didn't want to be a hassle. So that seemed to work well for our kids.
Yeah, yeah, and give them free rein to use it.
I made her earn. She wanted a Toy Story doll, and so I said, "All right, well, you know, you've got $6 in here. It costs $4 more. It's going to take you 4 weeks to earn that money."
Yeah.
And then it's funny because her dad was like, "Let's just give her the money." I was like, "No, no, no. She's going to earn it."
Sure.
And so she earned it. She takes care of Bo Peep. Very much so.
Absolutely. More so. Remember the first car you bought as opposed to the one that was given to you? You know, you wipe.
Exactly. You take much better care of
it. Absolutely. I clean that thing with a diaper every week. Man, it was...
And the last thing is that I find affirmations. I don't know what you guys think of the affirmations.
Yeah.
But I find work really well. Like, I am special. I am smart. I am strong.
Sure.
Because her second day of school, she was bullied a little bit, which shocked me. I was like, "You guys are five. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the dealing with the insecurity that they all feel, and some people respond with aggression, and unfortunately, it's there. But helping her begin to affirm herself. What doesn't work is you affirming her over and over and over again, saying, "You are special. You are this," right? We were taught that in the self-esteem revolution, and it doesn't work. Study after study have shown it doesn't work. What really builds their self-esteem... What builds her self-esteem is accomplishing things, right?
There's this book called The Incredible Little Happy, and it's about just saying, "I am." So yeah, they should, often parents shouldn't say from The Incredible Little Happy, they shouldn't say, "You are." I am smart. I am happy. Okay.
Exactly. That's right. And that's what we all, that kind of self-talk is what we all struggle with because it's going on all the time, even if we're not aware of it, right? So if we can actually shape some of that self-talk, you sound like you're doing great. You sound like you're aware this is a transition. You might do something. Hey, you've made it through a first week. You're big girl, kindergarten, you know, let's do something special.
He's talking about you doing something special. Like, that was for you, by the way.
For both of
you. You made it. You're a big girl.
You did.
Way to go, Holly.
Yes.
I do. But it was very hard. I was the only parent that broke down in tears leaving the kindergarten. And the teacher was so great. She goes, "Oh, don't worry, Mama. I did it too."
Yeah.
And
I did it.
Oh, good. Like, more parents did it. Instead of embarrassing her, my kid was like so proud that her mom was the only one that broke down in front of everybody.
That's funny.
They could have gone off.
Okay,
thanks
Holly,
for the call.
Thank you so much. Good luck this year.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
So, Jen, what's one thing that you wish you couldn't say until now that you're newly, this is your first year of retirement?
It's a great question. There's several. If I had to pick one, I would say something that will benefit students and their parents in actually making this year a better year is encourage your child to advocate for themselves.
Yeah.
Rather than sidestep the child, the only one who can actually fix any problem that there is, and swoop in and be the adversary.
Or actually you end up being the adversary against the school. Yeah.
Exactly. And so it's just, I think, so important to remember we're on the same team. We're professionals as teachers. We've dedicated our lives to either our subject matter, your children, the school we teach, where we teach. Most of us love what we're doing. And we have something professional to offer. If you can have if your child is expressing some sort of difficulty with us, give them the tools, help them come up with a little script and say, "Okay, go to your teacher and you say this and let's see what happens." That's for a kindergartner all the way through a senior in high school. And that's the age that I taught. And I was just floored from my first year to my last how rarely that happened.
Right.
I would still routinely with 18 and 19-year-old students get emails from parents expecting me, by the way, to reply right away. And I'm like, "Sorry, I'm teaching your child. You're going to have to give me a little bit of time."
Sure.
But that would just sidestep the process of teaching their kids how to advocate for themselves. And occasionally, sooner rather than later, let them fail at something.
Yeah. Sooner. Absolutely. Sooner,
like in kindergarten, in second grade, in right. sixth grade, in 12th grade, if that's as long as you're going to have them wait. But that's where you learn. It's like someone stepping in. It's like expecting your child to build strong muscles, but then taking the squat bar away from them and you doing the reps and expecting them to be strong.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good analogy.
You can't. It's hard, and it's supposed to be hard. That's how we learn. Everything important that we learn in life is through trial and error and through mistakes and failure. And if we take that away from our kids in the classroom, it's like that's kind of where it's meant to happen.
Right.
But and they're so afraid of that F or that
I know.
D.
And I'm here. This is another thing I would love to say to parents is you're buying a lie if you think that one grade or one course is going to ruin your child's chance of success. It's not. I taught long enough to see kids who are so uptight and so afraid to ever make a mistake go to college and they are fragile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they fail out or they can't handle it or they're miserable, when I don't know which is worse. Mm. Or I've seen kids who take their licks like an adult, own it, and they're my favorite. I know we're not supposed to have favorites, but that's another thing teachers won't tell you is we do have favorites. And it's usually the kids who are curious and who are willing to take a constructive criticism, mm-hmm.
right.
and apply it. We love those kids because we're actually feel like we're making a difference in the world. But those are some things that I would say for sure is we don't have to be so afraid of that one grade or that one mistake. That's the whole point of the educational system, is to learn and to make those turns so that we can become successful
adults.
But
my kid has to get into an Ivy League school.
That's number 4 or 5 on my list.
It has to happen,
yeah.
right? Because that's the only way they're going to have the type of success that they really should have.
That's a huge bone of contention.
They need to be in Georgia or Georgia Tech, right?
I would say, like, and I know I'm biased.
What do you say to that parent
I want to say stop the madness with college applications.
Yeah.
You have got to stop the madness. I'm a huge advocate of smaller or lesser known schools that don't have the Ivy or the Georgia Tech, Georgia status, because the most important name on your kid's diploma is their own.
Not the college.
It's not. Ask any employer. I guarantee you, they'll say the same thing.
The school I went to for undergrad doesn't exist anymore. I had a graduated class of 30, right?
Uh-huh.
And doesn't exist. And yet people who've worked for me, Georgia Tech, Northwestern, a couple other Ivy stuff, doesn't matter, right? What matters is who you are, right? And any college in the States has an amazing alumni network usually. And that is And sometimes when you go to a lesser-known school, that alumni network really, really works hard to support their own coming out of that.
And I will say, too, smaller or lesser-known schools tend to give your child, their students, more opportunities in ways that they couldn't even mm-hmm. scratch
right.
at a huge university. If I can barely get into Georgia, but I can get into another school and I'm considered in their honors program, think of the opportunities I'm going to have there versus feeling like I'm always at the bottom and always lesser than at a bigger school.
And it was amazing. Our daughter got into Georgia early action. It was great. She was excited about it. She ended up going to a small, tiny school, private school in Nashville, Tennessee. And because she wanted Nashville more than Athens, right? She wanted a big city. And now, the opportunity she got to live in Italy for 3 months. She got to, her whole junior year was an internship with an actual company in Nashville. She was a business major, mm-hmm. and she didn't go to class. She went to an internship all day. Incredible experience. So, yes, I think that's right. But it is madness, and it starts early on. I once had clients in New York City that really were wanting me to help them get in the right school, and it was preschool. Because you get in the right preschool,
gosh.
And that's the way you get to the right Ivy League school later.
Oh, on that one, I'm going to have to take a break.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Atlanta Living, only on 95.5 WSB Atlanta.
Talk.
Thank you, Scott. Welcome back. And we're talking about getting your kids back in the trenches of school and making it a positive experience for both of you. And we're here with Hal and Jenny Runkle. I started to say Roker. You're the Roker family.
It's, well, no, you know what? I had a story there. It'll just take too much time. Okay. And it probably wasn't even going to be funny. So.
Okay. Well, thank you for saving us
sure.
from that.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the phone lines and speak with Susan and Buckhead. You're on WSB, Susan.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was listening to your part about allow your child to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And my older children breezed through college, 4 years, everything was beautiful.
Yeah.
But my youngest child, starting his fifth year in a few weeks, he does have some learning disabilities, and I believe that's impacted him a lot.
Okay.
Because he feels he tries harder and doesn't get
So here's the question for him. Here's the question for you to say to him, right?
Okay.
It's his life. You got to remember, it's his life. It's not your life. It's not your responsibility. It's his responsibility. And so here's the question. So when he says, Mom, I'm failing, so what are you going to do? It's a simple little question. Not, what can I do? Here, what I can do. No, just ask him. So what are you going to do? Well, I don't know. Well, let me know.
Okay, Susan, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment.
Okay.
Coming up next is Jekyll Island. So stay tuned. We're going to hear all about it and why you should do your next vacation there. You're listening to 95.5 WSB.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.